So for the final section of our talk tonight, we'll move on to the next adjective. The Church is one holy Catholic and Apostolic. We talk about the Holy Church. And so again, it's one of the four characteristics of what the Church is. It is holy. Holiness is a difficult word to define. What do you mean by saying that somebody is holy or something is holy? It doesn't mean pious. You know, pious is the little old lady who's, you know, saying her beads and so on. That's kind of piety. But holiness, what is holiness? Holiness of life. First of all, it is a quality that God has, holiness. And so, you know, as we begin the main part of the Mass, the priest says we join with the angels and the saints in their eternal song of joy, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord. And then the priest takes it up in the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer. You are holy indeed. Father, you are holy indeed. All creation gives you praise. Holiness is an intrinsic quality of God. And the Jews felt that holiness was contagious. You could catch it. And they were right. There's something in that. They felt that anything that had contact with God became contaminated with this quality of his, which is holiness. And so God chose Israel as the land for his people. So that land became the Holy Land. Was holy because it was God's. Jerusalem was where the temple was, where God lived. So Jerusalem became the holy city. The Jews were God's people. And so they were the holy people. The feast days, the Sabbaths and the feast days were days devoted to God, so they were the holy days. It's as if something of God was left behind in the land or in the city or in the feast day or in the person of the priests because they offered the sacrifice and the worship. They were holy. They were contaminated, if you like. Contaminated has a negative sense. We tend to talk about something contaminated, mean that it's kind of, you know, demeaned or blemished by something. But in the opposite sense to that, they thought that holiness was a quality that people kind of absorbed from God and became holy. In the same way, they thought that if something was unholy, if it was separated from God, if it was something that God didn't like, then to be in contact with that brought unholiness, brought defilement. And this is why there was so much washing of hands by the Jews. If they went out into the marketplace, they came back and they washed themselves in case they touched something which was inherently unholy. You know, a dead body, for example, they thought was unholy. So if you laid someone out, you needed to purify yourself, go through rituals of purification because the dead body was unholy, which is the opposite to the qualities that emanated from God, which was holiness. And God himself was known as the Holy One, the Holy One. And when Christ came, they St. Peter said, you are the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. He came from God and therefore he was holy. And so, in our understanding, because Christ was the Holy One, holiness for us means Christ-likeness. It means to be in communion with Christ. It means everything we were talking about in the first session tonight, about the church, means belonging to Christ. And so if you are inserted into Christ, as you are by being a member of the church, you become holy, because Christ is the Holy One. And so this contact with Christ, this communion, more than just contact, not just contact with Christ, like the, you know, the priests had contact with God as they offered the lambs and the sheep in the temple. They had contact with God and they became holy. But with us, it's much, much more than that. You know, it's receiving God into our very selves in the Eucharist. It's an intense involvement with God. That's what the church is. It's an intense involvement with Almighty God at a level that we can't even begin to imagine this side of the grave. What we do, what really happens to us when we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. It's beyond us. And it has a transforming power of holiness. So holiness is not, as I say, it's not this kind of outward show that you sometimes get someone, you know, they appear very holy to you. Holiness is not that. Holiness is being what God wants you to be. Ultimately, holiness is being fully human. Being exactly what God wants you to be. And to be exactly what God wants you to be as a human being is to be like Christ. Because he is the perfect human being, because he is the Holy One of God. And so holiness is being what God wants us to be, what God created us to be. Sin is always a pulling away from that ideal. It's a not being what you're meant to be. It's a demeaning of yourself. It's a belittling of yourself. But to reach out and to become yourself as you are meant to be, that's holiness. And I said to you before that prayer is a very, very relaxing experience. That if you sit in church or sit in your house and spend half an hour just being very quiet, conscious of the presence of God, you will come away from that experience renewed, invigorated, energized. And the reason for that is for that half an hour, you have been exactly what God wants you to be. For that half an hour, you have been perfectly human. You've put aside all your jealousies and anxieties and fears and anger. And you've just been in the presence of God, just been yourself, as God wanted you to be. And it energizes you. But that is what holiness is. It's configuration with Christ, which is what the church is. Church is this oneness with Christ. It's to do with the idea of oneness, which we talked about a minute ago. The church is one. Being one with Christ means holiness. And so, if the church is Christ, then the church is holy. Essentially holy. And that's why sin, because we are part of the church, is a public thing, it's a social thing. Because we're part of the community and we bring that holiness down. The holiness of the church is brought down by our own sins. So The church is the head and members. It's Christ and us, united together, and us entering into that godliness of Christ, that holiness of Christ. And when we say that the church is holy, we're not burying our heads in the sand and saying that every Christian is holy. We know full well that none of us is holy. None of us, absolutely none of us, has reached that particular point that Christ would like us to be at. None of us. You know, and there are many people whose lives are very obviously unholy. They've pulled right away from Christ. They don't do what God wants. They do their own thing. So, and yet they're still Catholics, or still call themselves Catholics. There's the image again of the wheat and the tares. You know, so we can't bury our heads in the sand and say that the church is holy so that every Catholic is holy, because they're not. And I always find this as a bit of a problem. Perhaps it's the first time I've actually said this in a catechumenate, but when I receive people into the church, I always want them to see the church at its very best. And I'm grieved when my new converts encounter Catholics who are uncharitable and unkind and bitter and don't take the sacrament seriously and don't say their prayers. I feel embarrassed by it. Because I feel that, you know, when I've brought someone into the faith, I have a kind of responsibility for them. It's a great pleasure, it's a wonderful pleasure to be able to lead someone into the Catholic faith. But I then want the church to live up to what you're expecting. So I tell you now, you know, the church is holy, essentially holy, but that doesn't mean to say that Mrs. Jones down the road is essentially holy by a long chalk. So you have to bear that in mind, you know. We're a very mixed bunch. But the church as such is holy because the church is Christ. Yeah? The church is Christ. And because the church is Christ, there's holiness there, even though in the individual human beings involved in that particular community, there might not be holiness. So there's holiness and there's not holiness can sometimes come together. You know, you could say, for example, if you had an unworthy priest, and no one is worthy enough to be a priest, but say you had a really unworthy priest, and he said Mass. Mass is still the Mass. It's still that sublimely holy event, because it's the sacrament, because it's Christ. Even though the person doing it might be a sinner. So we have to keep that in mind, that there's kind of two dimensions. The church is always holy, even though it has its human failings. And this brings us to another point, that you see, the church, because it is Christ and because it is us, is divine and human. You know, if we are inserted into Christ, and that makes this word church a reality, us and Christ together in the world, then the church is like Christ. Christ was human, like us, but he was divine, like God. He was the Holy One of God, and he was holy, of course, as a human being, too. But in him came together the two dimensions of reality, the divine and the human, and they came together. And in the church, the divine Christ comes together with human. And in this case, the humans are not like Jesus was. You know, we're ordinary people and we're sinners and so on. And so you've got this, the church is the union between Christ and ordinary human people. So the church is not a communion of saints. But it should be a communion of sinners who want to be saints. That's what the church is. Or should be. A communion of sinners. Because anyone who says he's not a sinner is saying that, you know, look at me, I'm fine. I've passed the exams. You know. And nobody does. Because, you know, the course is set as high as the stars. Because we're being called to be like Christ in our attitudes to God and to one another. And, you know, we all fail. So we're all sinners. We all need to go to God and say we're sorry for our sins. But at the same time, the sinful human beings are united with the sinlessness of God. So the church is at once supremely holy and yet always in need of being purified. Always in need of being purified, because the church is human and divine. So we need to remember that. So while the church is always holy, there will always be an unholy dimension to the human beings who belong to it. That's how it is. That's life. Now, because the church is of its very essence holy, then it does holy things. We always follow our nature. A dog behaves like a dog, and a cat like a cat, and a human being like a human being. And a holy God like a holy God. And so the holiness of the church shows in what it does. And what it does are the sacraments. The sacraments and the preaching. Word and sacrament. That's what the church does. It preaches the good news of Christ. Preaches the love of God. And it celebrates the seven sacraments, the purpose of which is to unite us intimately and incredibly to Almighty God Himself. And in the sacraments, in all of the sacraments, we encounter Christ in different ways. And because there is this very real presence of Christ in the sacraments, then what the church is doing all the time is bringing Christ forth into the world. That's why the church is often likened to Our Lady. That's why we often talk about the church as Mother Church. Because what Mary did, she brought Christ into the world. She gave birth to Christ. And the church all the time is giving birth to Christ, all the time. And she does it through the sacraments, because the sacraments make Christ present in other people's lives, and then they take Christ out into other people's lives. And this contagious effect of holiness affects people. So the church is holy because God is holy. And what the church does is to bring Christ, the Holy One of God, into other people's lives. So the church is essentially holy, even though the humanity of its members shows through. So the church is supremely holy and essentially holy, but it always needs to be cleansed, because it's made up of people like you and me. Okay. We leave it there tonight.